Welcome to Factum Agri, dedicated to New Zealand's primary industry. Each week, I talk with farmers and growers, industry, the science community, and policy makers to hear their news and views on matters relevant to both our rural and our urban communities. Well, here in Canterbury, and in particular North Canterbury, dry continues to throw challenges our farmers' way. Little to no autumn rain has fallen off the back of a very, very dry summer. There's been little to no rain in 6 months. Farmers on the back of low sheep returns are either buying in feed or progressing into their winter feed supplies. Things are tough in the region currently, and everyone needs to recognise and understand this. Resilience is currently being tested for many. Every week I get a lot of emails from people who enjoy the show and the areas covered, and many ask why I focus a lot on the environmental side of farming. I do it because we constantly hear through various channels that farmers are irresponsible or are making the environment worse. But every person I talk to, whether it be a farmer, catchment group member, or someone from the science community here on the show, farmers take the environment seriously and are making significant and positive steps to improve the land in which they live and work. Can you say the same about any other industry that has a large footprint? I don't think you can. So that's why I continue to shed light on how progressive farmers in this country are. Now, with that in mind, this week on Factum Agri, I'm talking with farmer Johan van Ras to hear what he is doing on farm in this space. He joins me now. Hello, Johan. Thank you for making the time today.
Oh, good as gold. Anytime, Angus.
Can you tell me a bit about your farm, where you farm and what you farm?
Yeah, we're on a family partnership with my parents and my wife and I, Kylie, and we're dairy farming just out of Morrinsville.
Yep.
We're farming 215 cows off a 76 hectares.
How are things going on farm? What was the summer season like and how are the farm gate prices currently working for you?
Oh yeah, no, we've had a pretty dream summer, to be fair. Like, we had a really rough spring, one of the toughest, wettest springs in the history of my farming career.
Okay.
But this summer has been real kind to us. So yeah, we've got a fair bit of grass and the maize is in, everything's sort of ticking along, so can't complain. The farm gate prices, the cost of stuff is still pretty high, you know, like bit worried, especially about our interest rates and stuff like that at the moment. But the dairy company is doing as hard as it can, so can't complain there.
Yeah. Now, I gather you've been part of a Waikato Regional Council Carrick's concept trial. Can you tell me about that and what it's all about?
Yeah, good as gold. So yeah, Carrick stuff, Carrick's plants, New Zealand native grasses, they've been around for a long time, and a lot of farmers have implemented that stuff over time. It's been well researched. So as a family, we decided to, we're getting a bit sick of the process of council and how they treat our board drains, the council run drains, and they're going through that process of spraying the drains and every year, and then the weeds build up again, spray. The same process, it builds up, you got to get the digger in to clean it out. So we decided that if we keep doing the same thing, we're going to get the same results. So let's try something different. As a family, we invested in a variety of Carrick's grasses, Germinata, Vigata, giant umbrella sedges. These are the type of grasses. And the council came in and cleaned our waterway. You're not allowed to call them drains anymore, call them waterways, because it's a good way of thinking. But our waterway was planted out after they'd done their clean, and now we're sort of 2 years in, and it's really nice to see this. It's only a smaller waterway, so it's only about a meter and a half wide, and the characters are almost enclosing that water, which is great. So it's providing the purpose is that it provides shade and cools the water. But these sedges have a real strength in their roots to hold banks together and stop that sediment loss through bank collapse and stuff like that. So the trial itself, we did that as a family and got it going, and then I took a photo and sent it to someone I'd met through the council, and they said, "Oh, we're keen on that. How? What can we do to improve?" And I, they've done a 5 kilometre stretch now of a bore drain in our region. And it's part of a trial just to see if it does reduce their cost of cleaning and spraying and that over time.
So, is the primary driver in all this around mitigating sediment loss?
So we're in the Piako Waiho catchment, and sediment is definitely one of those issues for our catchment. And sediment is definitely one of the drivers. Like, it's just a no-brainer losing more of your farm down into the water and out to the Hauraki Gulf. But the big thing you find when you start doing this stuff, it's actually providing habitat for that native biodiversity. That's really important to not only ourselves on farm, but our local community and our iwi, who you know, they eat eels and tuna out of the out of these waterways. So in effect, you're doing a great thing to protect your banks and that, but the bigger picture is that biodiversity story, and then your connection with your community. And that sort of stuff you don't realize until you've got a waterway sitting there with plants, and you're adding to that story. It's great.
And what sort of material benefit or upside are you seeing in all this work that you're doing?
Yeah, we had Gabriel come through last year, and no way were we affected like other regions, but we did have serious rainfall, and in this area we were lucky it wasn't as dramatic. But this one waterway that we have planted was in a river. Like, I've never seen anything like it. I thought we were going to lose the culvert. It was a lot of rain. Not one bank broke. Nothing. Nothing fell away. The carexes were flattened by the water. But they're up, they've pushed back up through the from standing still, the volume of water on them, and they're away again. They're thriving. So the
Fantastic.
benefit of it is instant. It's amazing. But we're also doing eDNA sampling. I don't know if you've heard of eDNA sampling,
Tell me
but
about
we're
that.
eDNA is you take a sample, a syringe out of your waterway, and it'll just give you a DNA snapshot of what's living within your water. So we did that before we did any of this to try to get that baseline of, hey, what might it look like before we do anything. And it's not that this stuff you'll see an instant change, but it's really good to have that baseline. And we found we did have some enangas and kookapu, our native galaxids, and we had a lot of eels. Everyone's got eels. We have a lot of short fin, but we're working on the long fin stuff, the important eels that are coming through. And then further up our catchment, we also have native mussels in the fresh water up there. So they're up there. If we can protect the banks and the water downstream, they'll come back down. It might take time, but if we all work together, we'll get there. So the eDNA sampling is showing that we've got hints of awesome native biodiversity, but hey, we can improve, which is what we're trying to do, with our waterways.
100%.
But yeah, and the bird life is crazy. You're definitely pulling in your normal birds, but we're starting to see a few more tuis and pi waka waka flying around the place. And we've also got a bit of a wetland that we've planted out the back. And our main family focus is to try to get a Matuku bird or a few Matuku birds to establish there. And we've definitely hit the jackpot if we can get that. That'd be cool.
Fantastic. And look, one of the things I always talk about, particularly with catchment groups, is, and you touched on this, is that level of engagement with the wider community, all working together. They really help to galvanize communities, don't they, in a shared interest.
Oh, for sure. Like, we are definitely all in this together. And I went to a marae, or for the Puniu Rivikea field day they had at the nursery, and their lead guy there, Shannon, he said, "We're all connected. through our waterways. It's our it is our connection points, and it might run through your property. It doesn't matter if you're a lifestyle block, you're in town, or you're in on a farm. The water connects us all. So what you can do on your little patch of dirt to enhance that section, if we all did it, oh man, it's next level where we could go with it. But yeah, how do we get there quicker? I don't know. But we're trying anyway.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And what about the benefits on farm with all this work? Are you seeing any changes or upside in farm production or the way that animals are grazing or output of anything along those lines?
Yep. No, the big block that we've done at the back, it's 4.5 hectares. That was marginal land. It was really wet. The cows used to graze it and we had fertilizer trucks stuck in there, all that sort of stuff. So it's been going now for 4 years, the planting itself and fencing it all off. And it hasn't made one nothing in terms of our milk solids. If anything, it's just made it a more efficient when you go to that area. They're not going down into that marginal stuff and eating that crap sort of wetland grass that has no value really. So yeah, in terms of and it took so much off the fertilizable area, so we're saving on fertilizer if you look at it that way.
So yeah,
in terms of efficiency, it's just, it doesn't really cost you anything. It does cost to plant it though, and those are bigger conversations to come with how do you see the value in that land on a catchment scale and get realized for the cost that it does cost you. Like, it's definitely not for free, and when you pull that lever, it's an ongoing expense. And not trying to put people off, but be aware that it's really easy to plant a plant, but to keep it alive and to keep the weeds away from it, that's where it starts to get a bit harder.
Yeah. And have you had any support with those costs?
Yeah. So initially, the initial fund, like it would have cost about 120 grand. I'm just giving you the number, but about half of that, or a bit under half, was actually funded from regional council helping us out through a EPA, Environmental Protection Agreement, and some of it was through Trees That Count. The Billion Trees Fund. And Trees That Count actually have been great. We've applied for like 200 trees, 300 trees every year, and we've been successful. So they have been great too, by that infill planting you need to do after you do your initial planting. So we have had a little bit of help, but the other half is paid for ourselves, our own family, and you have to have a bit of that. You have to have skin in the game to truly believe in what you're doing. So you take responsibility, ownership of what you have, and look up after it.
Yeah.
If you got everything for free, you might not appreciate it as much.
Yeah, and that's quite a cost, isn't it? You know, when I look at, for example, a sheep and beef farmer this year is, you know, when you look at the price of lamb, is only going to be making 62 to 65k this year. It's these sorts of projects, whilst they are significant, there is many benefits environmentally and some in terms of farm production, but the costs are high, aren't they?
The costs are high, and definitely, and this didn't happen for us in 1 year. Like, we bought the farm in 2010, and the journey to get to where we are today, so we're in 2024, first 10 years, the efficiency and driving production and profitability on farm was the how we got to where we are today.
Yeah.
We had to build up everything on farm to get money in the bank, I guess. But with the focus of, hey, in 10 years, we really want to start focusing within our environment, what environmental impact we're going to have. So yeah, it's not that this stuff happens overnight and now you've all of a sudden got a beautiful bush out the farm. It did take a lot of planning time and sacrifice in terms of investing in the right things and not investing in that. We sacrificed a fair few, maybe, I don't know, family holidays
Yeah,
or
sure.
something. I'm not trying to say that, but yeah,
Yep.
it takes time. And this is a real big conversation we're going to be having, Angus, nationwide about how do we pay for proper change?
Yeah. And I guess just on that, what about farm policy currently? Are there any settings you would like changed or see that would that will support farmers, or are things pretty right in your mind in terms of policy settings for farmers coming out of central government?
Policy drivers, yeah, no. The reality on the ground versus to someone sitting in the office in Wellington making these decisions, they need to come together. They actually have to come and step on the ground to see what's happening and what needs to happen and what that looks like. So I think policy is focusing a lot on that negative drivers and focusing on the wrong thing, whereas if you actually focused on these positive drivers, they do lead to action on the ground. Yeah, that's a hard one and past my pay grade, Angus. But at the moment, the people who are leading this sort of stuff are doing it without that regulatory influence. They're doing it because it's the right thing to do, and they're seeing benefits of it on a community scale. So maybe some of the policy or people who make these decisions, it's everyone has to give a little. And yeah, that's way past me, mate.
No. Well, no, actually, it's not because, you know, you are part of the farming community. You're the one that is part of New Zealand's biggest industry. And for anything to happen in terms of change, it has to be farmer-led, in my mind. And farmers need to drive whatever's happening, again, in my mind, within the industry. So, you know, you're absolutely part of the conversation. And as a farmer, I would argue you're the most important part of the conversation.
Yeah, I just on that the far like I'm really community focused, so I think farmers are definitely part of the community, and everyone is part of the community, and that's where these catchment groups seem to be a little bit of a beacon of collective action. And but it's not only that, it's figuring out between your community what are those key values that we believe even, and then work forward off that to implement change on land. So farmers are part of a community that can be part of the change, but it needs to be driven as a what are our true values we believe in and move forward together. And then you'll get that ownership, you know, or that those aligned values, which mean you can't, we've all got the same direction. There's no more worrying about where we're going. We just got to get there.
Hey, do you think as an industry we're telling our story well in our international markets? And do you see a future where New Zealand can receive a premium for our products, given all the work we are doing on the sustainability front?
This is another one past my pay grade, I think, Angus.
Oh, no,
Are we
because
telling it? Are we
no, but.
telling our story? Yep, I reckon there's some amazing stories out there of inspirational leaders in every sector, not only dairy, that everyone. There's amazing people out there doing awesome things, and also community-based initiatives. Like there's some great stories out there. And the markets are coming here. Like recently, you hear through the grapevine that Nestle and Mars, these guys are coming to New Zealand and seeing what we do here. We're sitting on a bit of a treasure trove of we're one of the only farming systems in the world that farm like we do. So we don't really have that comparative base to go, oh yeah, these guys are doing it really well. I think Ireland might be one of the only other pasture-based systems in the world. So we don't really have much of a someone to follow where we are leading ourselves. So can we get a premium from that? If you vision 30 years from now, if all our farms had streams that had a network of native plants that we've controlled the pests on, and they're full of our native birds and species that in and around our regions and communities are going to waterways that are know that the fish and stuff are there to eat. And if you can't sell that, I don't know, you might have to go back to marketing 101.
Yeah, I agree on that. It's been great chatting with you. Thank you very, very much for your time.
Sweet as anytime.
Johan is right. We need to focus on the positive steps being taken. We need to flip the narrative and celebrate the good work being done because it's everywhere you look in our farming communities. That's all from me this week. Thank you for listening and catch you next time.